Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Book Spectrum. I'm Chris Cordani, your host. On Book Spectrum, we like to discuss books from authors, but not always the longtime authors. We like to bring in people from other occupations who aren't always writers, but have had a book or two in them. We like to bring them in from across the spectrum. That's why we call it Book Spectrum. My guest today is a CEO, speaker, yoga instructor, modern-day philosopher, and author of a new book, Raise Your Innovation IQ. She learned quite a bit from her grandfather, who was a direct disciple of Mahatma Gandhi. She's given TED Talks and works with business leaders from around the world. She is also an innovation consultant. Lena Patel, thank you for being with us on Book Spectrum.
Hi, Chris. So great to be here. Thank you.
It's great to have you here, too. And we know how important real IQ is. We can put that aside. We've heard constantly in recent decades about some people advocating for an alternative emotional IQ, perhaps more important than people realized until maybe opening your book, though, is innovation IQ. We do not advance in technology, ideas, or our own endeavors without the ability to innovate.
So true.
While all this is true, Lena, you could write many different books from all sorts of angles, considering your background. But what inspired you to provide readers with your thoughts on their own innovation potential?
I'll tell you, Chris, a couple of things. One is that this book was written with the goal of really just looking at, one, what's been happening in the world, in the business world, and in the world at large, on a global level, and just seeing that the amount of disruption that's taking place, the amount of change that's taking place, and really wanting to give people tools, strategies, actionable ideas that they can take to succeed. So whether it's, whether you're an individual contributor in the workplace, whether you're an entrepreneur, got a new idea that you want to grow and you want to scale, whether you're heading up a Fortune 500 company, wherever you are on that spectrum, you're looking for ways to bring new ideas, to bring new technology, to grow your business and take advantage of that change. So one is I wanted to empower people with ideas that were easy to implement, because let's face it, who has time?
You're right.
And then the second part of it is, and I'll share a little bit my journey that got me to this place with you, Chris, but really the second part of it is I feel like I've lived, 7 or 8 lives. I've got sort of perspectives from psychology background, from an arts, a dance background, from a yoga and spirituality background, from a business background, from a mindfulness background, just sort of weaving all and seeing all of those elements come together for me was really a light bulb. And actually, having that perspective is what has really enabled me to tap into, to want to help people with innovation and help them with, driving business growth. But two, I actually realized, wait a second, I think some people have this in them. They just don't know how to bring it out. So I really wanted to kind of provide this resource for helping people to see innovation in a new way, that it's not for, the Steve Jobs. It's not for the marketers or the people that are, that think of themselves as naturally creative or they're in a, an innovation role in the workplace. But actually, it's something that you can apply whatever your role, whatever your position, and actually, in daily life as well. It was just having that mindset really enables us to deal with change more effectively and bring value into the workplace.
Lena, is this something we can learn, or are we born with an innovative talent?
So there's two ways of looking at this. I think that there are people we have what we call our conative, like the conative way of thinking, our conative mind, which is what is intuitive and natural for us. So there are people that are born, like within the first couple of years of their birth, they're wired, it could be hereditary and so on, where they have a natural inclination to come up with ideas, to think quickly on their feet, to kind of roll with the punches, figure things out as they go along, doesn't matter how much spaghetti you throw at them. And then there are people who think a little bit more, maybe systematically. They want to have a process. They want to be able to follow through on a checklist and so on. So those sorts of things are like, we have a natural inclination to one or the other. However, it doesn't mean it can't be taught. I think I'm sort of the frame of mind of one is what's your natural strength and how do you leverage that in order to drive innovation? So if coming up with ideas is not your thing, you can leave that for somebody on your team, you know, in your circle who does do that naturally. If your natural inclination is, you know, I love gathering data, I love providing that research, now you can add value, you can innovate by actually using that data to generate new ideas.
Well, there you go. You can innovate in many different ways and nurture that talent, right?
Correct. Yeah. So it's really like really understanding what your strengths are and then where, and actually like understanding sort of your untapped, you know, understanding, well, really kind of taking some self-reflection, let's say, to understand what your skill sets are and then finding ways to weave them together to add, you know, to create that top 1% skill set. And that's the differentiator. That's where you sort of, you know, you blow all your competitors out of the water because you're seeing things in a way that that nobody else in the marketplace is seeing because of your unique perspective.
Lena Patel is the author of Raise Your Innovation IQ. I have her with me on Book Spectrum. You say people can learn to flex an innovation muscle in the book. I like the sound of that. It gives us a more tangible approach to the concept of one's innovation IQ, if you will. How do you help readers and those for whom you consult pinpoint their innovation muscle?
So actually, one of the things that we offer our clients, we offer just sort of people who want to understand this space a little bit more. We have an innovation IQ assessment, and that actually just takes people through, you know, 21 questions to help them to understand what their flavor of innovation is. Everyone's an innovator. So this is just, it's like, what is natural and intuitive for you so that you can innovate in a way that makes sense for your personality and your skill set? So that's one way is to, you know, taking a assessment to get to know yourself and your team, you know, your team better if you work with other people. The other thing is, you know, I think part of flexing your innovation muscle is starting with the mindset, you know, starting with understanding what does it take to think differently. And I'll give you, you know, a quick example. Like you want to be able to, you know, our natural tendency as human beings is to do what we've always done because that's worked in the past. We do that all day long, you know, in the workplace. We've got this history and this experience that has worked for us. And the big danger with, especially in the world we're living in today, is thinking that what got us here is the thing that's going to get us to the next place. And so what are the characteristics of innovators is their ability to inhabit themselves, is their ability to look at their previous experiences and to not put everything into a box and say, well, this is how it must be going forward. So flexing an innovation muscle is just being really open to anything. It's actually very Zen. It's very Taoist, you know, not being attached to the results, emptying your mind, and to being open to new ideas, new opportunities, new insights that you can then apply into your space.
And keep in mind, flexing this muscle is not easy. It's something that takes a lot of time, and I shouldn't say time as in boring, but time as in investment, if you will. Exercising this innovation muscle is extremely important, but how do you, or what are the first maybe one or two things you would tell somebody who says, Lena, can you help me here? I want to improve my innovation. I have the muscle. I'm pretty good at this, but I want to move to that next level.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's a couple of things. I'll share like three ideas that come to mind for me right now. One is I always encourage people to look outside their industry. You know, whatever, you know, for so long we've been told specialize, specialize, specialize. And I think that's really bad advice in today's day and age. You know, with AI and robotics and automation and so on, they're just, you know, they're taking over a lot of these jobs. And frankly, I don't think human beings were meant to do the work that robots do. We're more intelligent. We have the ability to problem solve. So I'm going to really, I like to encourage people to say, look outside your industry. Don't just sort of say, well, I'm a marketer. So all that, you know, I become a marketing specialist. If you think about people like Steve Jobs, and I use that as an example because everybody knows him, so it's an easy example. But if you look at him, he's a marketer, he's a tech person, he understands he understands engineering, he understands software, he understands, you know, he's got a calligraphy background, which brought that beautiful, you know, that brought beautiful fonts into the Mac space. You know, a Buddhist, bringing that sort of Zen and simplistic look. All of those worlds that he had expertise in, he was able to contribute and bring into Apple to bring this unique and disruptive product and company to the workplace. So do the same. Look outside your industry. If you're marketing, look at sales, look at engineering, look at data, look at dance, look at, you know, whatever interests you. I mean, there's no limit. And then look for ways that you can start to start to connect the dots. You know, if for a lot of people, if they've got expertise in subject matters, you know, that, you know, maybe they studied piano and music as a child, who knows, you know, just, you know, they love tinkering with video gaming and so on. Like, the goal is, you know, to merge those expert skills, those passions, those interests, those life experiences. Think about it as a crossword puzzle. Think about merging them together to create something unique in the marketplace. So that's it. Look outside your industry. Be inquisitive, always be learning about new things. I think that's so important to be fresh and innovative. And then think about how you can apply those ideas to what you're doing and start connecting the dots.
Lena, that makes a lot of sense. Becoming more well-rounded makes you not only more innovative, as you're saying, but also gives you perspective from other aspects of, or let's say, other occupations or maybe other points of view, where you can come in and say, hey, wait a minute here. Now I can look at what I'm doing at one point from another perspective, and we can maybe make something happen that I didn't think about maybe beforehand.
Sure.
That's innovation. That's kind of the birthplace of where all this comes from. There's another thing, though. Being well-rounded also might make you more susceptible to listening to noise. You know, maybe things that you don't really need, or maybe you overthink things in certain ways. Then that kind of hampers innovation. In your book, Innovation IQ, Lena, you do teach the readers how to rise above such noise. While that noise might be important in some instances, not with everything, right?
Yes, of course. Things. I mean, one, I'm a big advocate of saying no to great ideas. Sounds kind of counterintuitive, but I do believe we've got a finite amount of time. Each of us have this amount of time, and so it's up to us to be really diligent with what we focus our attention on. So, while I say develop expertise and open your mind and explore and be learning, the caveat is that we're looking for deep expertise in several subjects. The goal is not to be a master of everything and do everything. We can't possibly do that. Nor do we desire to, and nor should we really. But if we can just take, and I say three or more, right? So if you start with three, that's more than plenty to keep, you know, to keep people busy for the next, the next 12 months. But look at three ideas, and the idea is deep expertise. So it's not just general knowledge, a deep level of expertise, meaning that you can hold your own in a conversation with somebody where that topic is their, you know, is their thing, that's their field, that's their expertise. You can hold your own in a conversation. So you're looking for deep expertise, and then you're looking to connect the dots. And you talked about managing your time and not being, I guess, sort of swept up in doing too many things. One of the powers of meditation and mindfulness that I've experienced in my life, Chris, is the fact that it has given me this ability to I guess listen inwards and really know what is it that I want to focus on and what is noise. So, you know, at the beginning of my day, I'm gonna just start off by, you know, before I open my laptop, before I open my computer, before I listen to the news, that's noise. Like that, listening to all of that, if I'm not centered, is going to probably get me pretty wound up, pretty rallied up, pretty fired up, because, you know, I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm upset at the horror that is going on out there, and I'm going to be reactive. But if I start up the day and sort of just get into that quiet place, and meditation is different for different people. For me, it's just taking a moment to be quiet and centering. My thoughts, slowing down my breathing, and just being open to insight, open to revelation, I put those questions, what is it that I need to focus on? What's my part, ask whatever those questions I have. I put that out there. Let the infinite mind bring me that answer. And then I'm going to start with my day. And that allows me to just get really clear about what are the three objectives? What are the things I want to focus on today? And I'll calendar that, put that in place. And then the rest of it, I put it in the parking lot. That's where I put all my ideas that I'd love to do, but I don't have the time to do them. It kind of gives me this sense of, it makes me feel good that I haven't shut them out completely. If I'm really excited about them, but I don't have the time. But it's something that, next quarter, in 3 months' time, 6 months' time, I'll address it again and see if it makes sense given, my where I am in my business, where I am in my life.
I get you there because I have loads of cunning plans in my parking lot. I have to find time to make those things happen.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lena Patel is with me. She is the author of Raise Your Innovation IQ. She's also the CEO of Sandbox to Boardroom. Let's talk about innovation from your perspective, Lena. And I mean, let's dig deeper. And that means going back to when you were learning and nurturing your own all-around talents. Your grandfather taught you a lot, as he was a direct disciple of Mahatma Gandhi. What were a couple of the most important life and success lessons you learned from him?
Wow, so many. So I learned, I started my yoga and mindfulness journey with him from the age of 4, kind of immersed in that. Sort of every evening the family would get together and he introduced me to books that had, the great authors, great writers, that had unique perspectives in the world. So I think that was a huge part of my sort of inquisitive nature as a kid. He taught me how to take responsibility for things in life. We know Gandhi was this incredible force of change. And I think sort of living with him for, living in his home, sort of being part of him, like attending his meetings and so on, I think just ingrained in him this idea that if you stand up for what you believe in, and you take personal responsibility for driving that change. If you don't like the way that something exists, and there are plenty of examples like that in our world today, it's easy to just sort of point the finger and point the blame and say, it's because, this person did this, that we're suffering, we're struggling right now. My grandfather taught me that, it's very disempowering. If we can actually say, here's what we don't like, here's what I believe in, and here's what I'm willing to stand up for. What action am I going to take to make that change? Who am I going to enroll in this new vision I have for the world, this new idea that I have where things could be better for my family, for my community, for my country, whatever level you want to play at, who do I enroll in that vision, and how do I take that forward in a nonviolent way? And nonviolent really means we get to do it in a way where we're looking after ourselves and as much as possible taking care of people along the way. We're looking at ways for making for things to be a win-win. It's difficult for that to be that way, but can we do things with a sense of compassion for who's being affected by the choices and the decisions that we made? That was a big foundation for me.
Lena, why are Gandhi's teachings still relevant and necessary for future generations to learn?
They're so hard. They're so hard. It's so, it's easy to say, be compassionate, approach you know, approach people and interactions and relationships with a nonviolent mindset. And, you know, but the reality is, you know, every day we're surrounded by people. I mean, our family members, you know, people are going to rub us up the wrong way. They're going to have a different approach. They're going to see things differently. And that seeing things differently, for many people, it threatens our belief system. It threatens everything that we think to know be true. So we want to defend that. And quite often the way we defend that is by getting argumentative, getting violent, sometimes in language or thought, maybe not even in behavior. But we experience a lot of pain. And so there's a lot of inner work that we all need to do and continue to do. It's not a one and done deal. We need to continue to do that work of really looking at things from the other person's point of view, taking time to understand their perspective, even if we don't agree with it. That's ongoing work. We need it today more than ever. If you look at the world of business, look at the world of politics, there's so much blaming and shaming going on. And so I think his teachings are so relevant today.
Lena Patel, I want to thank you for being with us here on Book Spectrum. All this is rolled together in your book, Raise Your Innovation IQ. Where can our listeners find more out about you?
So you can find out more about me. Well, if you're on social media, I encourage you to reach out on LinkedIn or Twitter and constantly sort of sharing tools, tactics, ideas that you can just dialogue with me directly on those platforms. If you want to know more about what my firm is doing, what we do in the innovation space for big and small companies, you can go to sandbox2boardroom.com. That's the number 2, sandbox2boardroom.com. And then, of course, if you're interested in applying these ideas and learning how to innovate, getting some actionable steps from a wide range of disciplines, go ahead and book that by Raise Your Innovation IQ. It's available on Amazon in paperback and digital.
You can also find a link to Lena Patel's website and where to get her book on our website, bookspectrum.com.
Great. Free resource for those of you that are just, if you're listening in, if you want to just download a sample chapter, we'll put that in the show notes for you as well. You can just, get a free chapter of the book and just get a sense of it. I think now's the time to be open, to learn new ideas, to make new connections with people that think differently from you, and take that one step forward on your innovation IQ journey.
And that's perfect. Raise Your Innovation IQ. That's what you want to do, and that's what you can do with the book. That's the title, Raise Your Innovation IQ. Thanks again to Lena Patel. I'm Chris Cordani. Thank you for listening to Book Spectrum.